Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and welcome to the podcast. It's coming to you a little bit late. It's Sunday, January 30th, and I am really excited this week. We have my guest host, Shai Corman from Friday Night Movie Podcast, and he is here with his guest, Adal Rifai. Adal is plays Chunt on Magic Tavern. He's on Hey Riddle Riddle, Sibling Specula. He hosts Guespionage by Jackbox Games, so you can find him all over the internet. Hello from the Magic Tavern being, you know, one of the biggest places you'll probably recognize him from. So pleased he joined Shai to talk about restaurants in Chicago, and it is a really fun, tasty romp through a city I love. If you are new here and just here for Shai and Adal, go ahead and fast forward a couple minutes. Shai is my guest host because I have been going through breast cancer treatment and got too tired to keep up with the podcast. But this week I went for my final scheduled chemotherapy, and ultimately they decided that that doing the last infusion was going to be too hard on my body. And so after 11 Taxol infusions, I'm done with chemotherapy. And we'll continue on with a whole bunch of tests this week to make sure that the chemotherapy did what it was supposed to do. I talked to my radiation oncologist, get a brain MRI, see a pulmonologist, blah, blah, blah. But I celebrated with part of the plan. Originally, my plan had been to see the Doughboys live in Chicago. They postponed for Omicron, but I kept up with my Saturday matinee tradition, my steroid Saturday tradition, even though this week I did not get steroids, and saw Scream 4. And then I met up with people who are also fans of the Doughboys podcast, and we had Manny Petties and Chicago hot dogs, drove out to Super Dogs, went to Fiat and Andersonville for hummus and Malort, and it was a very silly night, fun to celebrate. And today I'm kind of chilling at home with friends helping me take care of household tasks that I still do not have the energy to do yet, but I continue to improve, thankfully. So wash your hands, wear your mask, get your booster shots, and keep enjoying your favorite things.
Here we are, and welcome to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. I am, of course, not Leah Jones, Shai Corman of the Friday Night Movie Podcast, filling in for Leah as she continues her medical journey. And we wish her well and a speedy recovery. Leah, we love you. And thank you for letting us help you in this exciting, awesome, awesome way of getting to guest in your podcast. Today, I'm going to take the opportunity again to interview a bucket list interviewee. And that is the great Adal Rifai, of Chicago fame, of podcast fame. My podcast professor is what I'm going to call you, even though...
My captain. Yeah, I'm of Chicago fame, first and foremost, and then podcast fame, and then Middle Eastern fame, and then from there, it just goes downhill.
Yeah, Adal doesn't necessarily remember, which is okay, because there are many acolytes in his podcast world, but I took his podcasting course during the pandemic through Queen City Comedy, right?
Queen City Comedy. And how dare you? I do remember you, because you like you said, you're wearing a Montreal hat. I brought up Montreal, and then I said, I'm saying Montreal weird, Montreal. And then I said something along the lines of, ooh, chewy bagels or something like that. And you went like, yeah, okay. So I definitely, I do remember you. I do remember you.
My deep dive opinions I could go on those chewy bagels is that would be the episode because I'm American by birth, but I was raised in Montreal. So I have a real duality, real dual identity when it comes to the bagels. But hot Montreal bagel from Real Bagel on Queen Mary, by the way, that is where the locals in the suburbs really go.
One of the places
that are famous on the internet.
Okay.
Get a fresh bagel and then get a bagel board, which is a bagel that's been slammed into a really, really hard brick.
Interesting.
This is great that we started with bagels because we are going to, in fact, talk about food because I know from listening to your incredible interview with Janet Varney, another legend of the podcast world and a huge one influence on me and just the nicest human being on the planet.
Just full disclosure, she may be the love of my life. She's the best. She's the absolute best.
She inspires joy and is the kindest person in the world. And as someone who met her, it's like not like we grew up together. I met her through her famousness and we have adopted her into my family as a family member. I'm always amazed at how much extra room she has in her heart for people.
Yes, she's the most gracious, kind, giving person, and she has the best laugh. And it's there's like maybe 3 or 4 people in the podcasting world that do this for me. It's like Janet Varney, Mary Holland, and like Paul F. Tompkins, where it's like you cannot be in their presence and not just be like giddy as all get out. Like you revert back to being a child and you're just like, I cannot. It's almost like you're on the edge of your seat waiting to laugh. Like, you know, it's going to come, you know, that they're going to have you dying. So you're just like in anticipation, already smiling and giggling. And it's truly the best feeling.
And the childlike wonder just surges.
Yes. Yeah.
So speaking of childlike wonder and speaking of podcasting,
oh, where's this going?
Well, I feel like your podcasts that you are most famous for, because you appear in lots of places, but Hello from the Magic Tavern, brushing up on last night. Going to ask you about your most recent episode, by the way, where you play Chunt.
Yes.
It is all about imagination and taking people into the world of Foon. And then also Hey Riddle Riddle, I feel like is another one that requires childlike wonder in order to be a part of. Let's get into your origin story here in Act One.
Okay.
How did you pick that as your entry point into the podcasting world, because you are a man of many talents?
Okay. How did I pick Hello from the Magic Tavern?
Yeah. Or Hey Little Riddle, either one. You can pick either one. But how did you pick in Hello from the Magic Tavern in particular, this world of fantasy, improvisation, making up stories, building worlds?
Yeah. So one of my origin story is I was bitten by a radioactive microphone. Let's get that out of the way. I did a lot of improv in Chicago after college, and I eventually fell into a group called World News Tonight, which was created and directed by the absolutely incredible one of my best friends, my former roommate and sort of my mentor, this gentleman named Jason Chin, who's no longer with us. But he put together World News Tonight, and that's where, I mean, Jordan Klepper came out of there. A lot of well-known comedians, a lot of brilliant people, a lot of writers for like the Colbert Show and a lot of other shows. But on that team, World News Tonight, I met two folks, Arnie Niekamp and Matt Young. And we kept going into scenes together. We developed this really fun, playful rapport. We'd love to hang out in the green room after shows. And so Arnie Niekamp was someone who had already done 3 or 4 podcasts. And he started to think of a podcast for the three of us to do together. And so that's how Hello from the Magic Tavern started. And I think that sort of world building and the playfulness and the silliness came from just our rapport with each other. And the three of us are all big nerds. We love comics. We love toys. We love video games. We love fantasy. So we just decided to sort of build out our own world. And we already have this rapport in improv. So we just kind of leaned on that. And that's how we started Hello from the Magic Tavern. And then maybe 3 or 4 years into Hello from the Magic Tavern, I felt like I wanted to do another podcast on my own, where I was like, I want to create a podcast that I wish existed. And so I love puzzles and riddles and games and like brain teasers. So I created Hey Riddle Riddle with two other members of World News Tonight, JPC and Aaron Keefe. And then that became its own thing.
Wow. World News Tonight's like the Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Well, that's
awesome. Not, podcast.
That's a loaded answer. But yeah, I think Jason Chin brought to fruition a lot of cool podcasts.
Fair enough. I was trying to think of it. I was going to say Bill Walsh, but I don't know. I guess
Joe Walsh.
Joe Walsh. That's it. Yeah. Let's make it the Joe Walsh.
It's like the Eagles.
Exactly. Glenn Frey, solo.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Boys of Summer.
You were like Genesis. Boy of, yeah.
You were a boy of summer.
I was a boy of summer with JV. Yeah.
So you're a professional podcaster. Leah and I, we always talk about and are proud of our indie podcaster. Our indie podcaster identity.
Yeah.
And our motto is often, you got to spend money to lose money. That's how we describe our podcast. But you do this Fantastic. As a job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredible. And you are not, and maybe you're friends with some of the big new podcasters like Barack Obama. He has a podcast now too.
I call him Bo. Me, Bo, and Bruce all hanging out. Me and Conan, who invented podcasts, we always chum around. So it's nice.
So there's a lot of big names that have gotten into podcasting, but you come from the real indie world of podcasting. What's that? How does that map look from indie podcaster to actual professional podcaster? I'm not trying to take your secret sauce here. I'm just curious how that
brown sugar.
How that happens.
The secret, anytime someone says they have a secret ingredient and they always say that the dumb thing of, I could tell you, but I have to kill you. The ingredient is always brown sugar. Please know that. You heard it here first. It's always brown sugar.
I put that against all recommendations in the recipe for French toast that I have. I always put brown sugar in.
It's makes great food. So when we started Hello from the Magic Tavern, I think the mindset was not that we were going to have a big show. The mindset was not that this was going to be supplemental income or eventually full-time income. The idea was just like, let's make this for ourselves. We're going to make ourselves laugh, each other laugh, and then like 20 of our friends. So I think, there was no map or plan and no blueprints for what happened. I think it was just a lot of luck. And then something else I want to give a huge amount of credit to is like audio producers and engineers and our sound team, like Garrett Schultz and Chris Rathjen. There's so many people on our team at Magic Tavern who I think make this show sound so ridiculously good that allowed for a lot of our success, I believe.
So
I think sound, I think the quality of the audio, the quality of the sounds, effects and soundscape, I think have a huge amount to do with success. It can either make or break a podcast. So I think we are lucky enough to find people who really put forth their all their energy and talents and made it something so listenable that we reap the benefits of.
So last night I was listening to your most recent episode I think it's your most recent one as of when we were recording this, which includes Nyla Rose and Aubrey Edwards.
Yeah.
I am a huge AEW fan. If not for the raging pandemic, I would have been almost ringside to their Washington, D.C. dates. I follow Aubrey Edwards in particular on Instagram because she's got a killer Instagram where she actually uses toys of herself and reenacts scenes. She posts these reenact scenes from the various matches.
So I have to follow her on there.
And Leah, the host of this show, loves that my sister refers to AEW as A&W. Anyways, you had them on, and there's all these. One of the things I noticed as I was listening on headphones is that it sounds like you're almost in one of these role RPG video games where there's like the sounds of the town and the sounds of the tavern.
Yeah,
I to myself was thinking, I'm like, wow, they get great sound if they're recording live in a tavern. That's all sound design and sound effects from your producers.
Yes, it's all them. Like if you were to play the raw audio and then the finished product, you'd be like, what the hell? And so many, I don't know what it is, but so many, I guess it's a compliment, but so many people assume the sound effects are done in real time. So I don't know if people think we have like a Foley artist on hand or something, but like even just like the fireplace, the sound effect that happened when we were in certain episodes or certain seasons, people thought it was like going the whole time while we record. So it's really, I mean, that's a, That's a pin in their hat for the audio engineers for how well they do that, that people assume it's in the room with us.
The way I can describe those sounds is they tickle the imagination.
Yes.
Because there's the action that's going on, the conversation, but then there's this little tickling that goes on where I'm picturing where you are. And I was doing this double take. Well, I'm glad we got to talk about sound effects. Okay.
I do want to mention just real quick. I think that tickle you're describing in a very creepy way, the tickle, I think is what leads to, I think podcasts more than any other medium leads to this connection with the artists. So I feel like when I meet people who listen to the show, especially Magic Tavern, there's such a intimacy that they assume or have with the artist. So it's a lot of people listen in their bedroom, they listen while they cook, or they listen on the commute to work or in their car, whatever it might be. But I think that soundscape versus just reading, or when you watch a TV or film, you see everything as they want you to see it. I think just the audio with sound effects allows for such a mindscape, allows for you to kind of flesh it out in your brain of like, here's what I think it looks like. And it leads to such a cool intimacy with the artist that I don't think is replicated in any other medium. So I just want to tip my hat to that, because I think it's really special and it's really cool that it allows people to feel so close to us.
That is something that's so true about podcast. The relationship people have with their podcasts that they follow is very close. It's very, do people come to you and they talk to you as if they've known you?
Yep.
And they're picking up the story just wherever you were.
I think in person, it's always a lot nicer in terms of like, there's an over familiarity where people come up to me. I've been in stores in Chicago, or I've been in New York where people run up to me on the street, but they'll just start talking and they'll be like, hey, Adel, da 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 da. And after like 2 minutes, and I try to be very polite. And then after about 2 minutes, I'll be like, I'm so sorry. Where do I know you from? And they're like, oh, you don't know me. I'm blank. And I'm like, oh, so sorry. Can you lead with that next time? Just so I'm not terrified.
I always tell someone when I don't know.
But I think in person, the over familiarity is great. And it always makes me feel, whoever I'm with, I always feel like a rock star, because they're like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, that's a fan of the show. But I think over social media is where it gets weird, where the over familiarity bleeds into someone will just direct message me and be like, hey, you fucking idiot. Can we curse on here?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
But I think so.
They'll say like, hey, you effing idiot, or whatever.
His mom curses on.
Oh, there. Good. But they'll say something just kind of rude, and I'll respond and be like, I'm sorry, what's going on? And they're like, oh, like JPC, like how he talks to you. And I'm like, oh, well, JPC is my friend. I've never met or talked to you in my life, so please don't talk to me like that. And they're like, sorry, dude, I was just trying to have some fun with you. And I'm like, let's definitely have fun, but let's establish a relationship first. Or
yeah, that is,
just talk to me like a human first, and then we can have our own bits. But
I try to approach people of notoriety with context, like we did this class together, or you don't know me at all, but please come to my show.
I don't go up to, well, long gone, but I wouldn't go up to Curly on the street and poke him in the eyes and him go, what the hell, my eyes, and be like, sorry, I guess when Mo does it, it's funny, but when I do it, it's not.
That's a really great.
You're being rude.
There's darker, there's like darker interpretations of that. Like the characters who play, there's an actor, name escaping right now, who play. Oh no, I was listening to this is maybe less dark, but I was listening to an interview with the Broken Lizard guys. Super Troopers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how I'm pretty sure it was Jay Chandrasekhar was talking about how in the heyday of Super Troopers and Beer Fest, they couldn't go anywhere without people just loading them up with whatever drugs and alcohol and whatever. Those guys seem to have turned out fine, which is great. But I'm pretty sure there are darker scenarios where you can't go anywhere without someone trying to party with you. I think the Cheers cast used to tell stories of that too. They couldn't go anywhere without anyone.
Oh yeah. What's his name? Norm didn't pay for a drink for 50 years or whatever.
That's amazing. All right, Adel. I know, in addition to your love of Chicago, you have an expertise and a love of foods, I think fine and otherwise, not just the fanciest foods, but just all foods.
Yeah, I think what it is, and I think this is an outdated term. Like I think now in the sort of food industry, this is like a gauche term. But people used to refer to me as a foodie, but I think now there's such a stigma and negative connotation.
You can't be a foodie
that.
Anymore.
And then, same with like molecular gastronomy. Like no chef wants their name attached to that anymore for some reason. But I used to be known as a foodie. But I think what it is I don't necessarily think I'm an expert in food or like I have this incredible palate or I definitely don't cook very much. I think what it simply boils down to is I have a willingness to spend money on a lot of money on food. Like I'm willing to just be like, this is an experience. Like I'll put off on buying a new couch and I'm just going to go to this nice restaurant this month or quarter. And I think I just have a huge curiosity for like, or just like searching out what is the best food? Where's the best taco? What's the best Thai food? What Thai restaurant has a secret menu with dishes you can't get anywhere else or that are weird meats or so, you know? So I definitely just have this intense curiosity for food and I'm always on the search for what's new and what's fun.
I think the part where you say that you invest in it as an experience or some people go to Disney World, some people go skiing, the food, like, because there is that whole experience of bringing the food, of talking to the waiters. And you joked about molecular gastronomy. My in-laws took my wife and I when we were dating to WD-50, which was
I went there
with Wiley Dufresne's.
Yes,
and he was there and he came out and showed us how he brought us into the kitchen and showed us how he made the famous Eggs Benedict. There's a show. So what I'm gonna ask you to do
is I'm gonna
invite myself into your Chicago restaurant.
Rude.
And because I know Leah has a big Chicago contingent listening. And I was hoping you could maybe take me through a menu or a restaurant experience, a few courses, but the stipulation, we got to have a stipulation, is that you must pick foods from different places that are your favorite. So if we're going to start with an amuse-bouche, right? If the amuse-bouche, that's got to come from one of your favorite places. And then the appetizer can come from somewhere else. And I'll say, let's do four or five courses. We'll do amuse-bouche, appetizer, entree. Oh, and dessert. Okay. So four courses.
Okay. Four courses and an amuse-bouche is one of them.
Well, I guess, I guess you're a higher roller.
Frozen grape is my amuse-bouche.
if you want to add a course.
Yes.
You're welcome to, but I want to be mindful of the budget.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. First and foremost, I do want to just quickly say, if you're not from Chicago, as far as I know, and I've been here for, I don't know, 17 years or something. As far as I know, no one calls it Chi-Town. So please, when you come to Chicago, please don't call it Chi-Town. You did not say that.
Shy, I never call it Chi-Town. I've had people call me Chi-Town.
Yeah.
Nickname.
I think recently I've seen a lot of TV. I can't remember what shows, but I feel like there's people who are like, hey, let's meet up in Chi-Town. And I'm like, no one, whoever wrote this is not from Chicago. Okay. So let's start with, oh boy, this is going to be tough. I made a little list here just to remind myself of what's what. I think what we're going to do is we're going to start off, we're going to treat this as if it's in the morning and we're going to start off with a nice coffee. And I want to say there's a place called Percolator Coffee in Portage Park. That's my favorite cup of coffee. So you're going to start at Percolator for a cup of coffee. That's going to be your sort of wake you up, start to tantalize your stomach and ready it, prime the pump, as it were, for all the food that you're about to ingest.
Is this a macchiato chocolate bar coffee or is this just black coffee? What kind of coffee are we talking about here?
They have some fancier coffees, but even their drip coffee is stellar. Like they just make a good cup of coffee. And then not too far. So that's on Irving Park, and maybe 10 minutes east from there, still on Irving Park, is where we're going to pick up our amuse-bouche, which is going to be beignets from Junebug Cafe. Junebug Cafe is like a New Orleans style coffee shop. I like Percolator's coffee better, but Junebug, the beignets there are absolutely phenomenal. So that's going to be our amuse-bouche. Load up your stomach with 10 pounds of powdered sugar. That to me is the perfect way to start a meal.
I feel the shakes already. Sounds amazing. Beignets are so good.
So good. So we'll count that as one. We'll count that as the amuse-bouche, the coffee and the beignets. For our appetizer, I think what I want to do, and pardon me, this is on the fly, so I'm looking over my list here just to double check. Okay, for the appetizer, we're going to go to a place called Galit, G-A-L-I-T. This is an Israeli.
Also the name of my cousin and a dear friend of mine in Los Angeles.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what that Galit name
is?
Means,
a common or? Hebrew name.
I did not know that.
It is a Hebrew name. Yeah. I forget what it means right now.
Okay.
But I will find that out before we're done here. But yeah, my cousin Galit and my dear friend Galit.
My cousin Galit. That's Joe Pesci and Marissa Tomei. So Galit is a. I first found they have a sister restaurant in New Orleans, which is my favorite city for food besides Chicago. They have a place called Shaya in New Orleans, and then they open up a place in Chicago called Galit. So Galit, you're going to want to go there. Everything.
Can I blow
right
your
there.
Mind for one moment, though?
Please. Do you have a cousin Shaya?
My Married cousin Shaya? Galit's son, name is Shaya.
Unbelievable.
Which is a variation of my name in Hebrew.
That's fantastic. And also, I should say, I mentioned I'm Middle Eastern. I'm Palestinian. And just the two of us doing this podcast, this is like if the Montagues and the Capulets did audio together.
Absolutely. It should happen more often. I knew that about your origin from learning about you. And it is a pretty cool thing here we are talking about.
Very cool thing. And
food is always a good thing, right?
Brings just everyone
breaking
together.
Breaking of bread, welcoming people into
brings
tents,
everyone
right?
together. Besides the Red Wedding, breaking of bread means safe passage.
Exactly.
And speaking of Montagues and Capulets, we should say that Shai is biting his thumb at me this whole time. So you're going to want to go to Galit for their hummus and pita. I know this sounds, here's the thing. If you told me, hey, you have to go to this place for their hummus and pita, I would be like, I grew up with hummus and pita 5 days a week. My dad would make it or buy it or whatever. There's no way that I'm going to have any hummus or pita that's going to be like extraordinary or stand out or whatever. The hummus and pita at Galit is the best you'll ever have. They bring out sort of like hummus, and then there's almost like four little ramekins full of different, I don't even know what they are, like different yogurt sauces and spicy, smoky.
That's awesome.
Like there's cool. spicy,
olive
smoky,
oil
sweet.
And things living
yeah.
in them?
Where it's just like different concoctions that are akin to hummus, but made from different ingredients. And you could almost sit there for 5 hours and just snack on that. It's the perfect thing. And their pita bread comes fresh out of the oven. I think they only give you two pieces at a time because it's made to order and it's so popular. And then if you want more, you can ask for more, but it's absolute heaven. So Galit, hummus, pita, and their little sampler platter up top.
Galit means fountain, by the way.
Okay.
Which gal is the Hebrew word for wave. So it's a water name. So that.
Okay. Sense. So is Gollum, which is a Hebrew clay monster. Is that something
different root word?
Different root, or probably golem. Golem.
Golem. Yeah, yeah. Different
yeah, yeah.
root
Not
word.
Not
gall. Yeah.
Okay.
Gall is wave.
Gotcha. I guess golem is the sort of bastardization that Tolkien took with the name, where it's golem is the traditional.
Yeah, yeah. And you always and speaking of cool fantasy things, golem always. We were talking about this on another podcast, but golem always seems to show up in the fantasy TV shows. We were talking this on my show last week, and how when they run out of witchcraft things in demon shows, they'll always throw in a golem as like a nugget to the Jews of like, oh, you see, we have you in our demonology also.
I think the phrase nugget to the Jews is maybe the best thing I've ever heard in my life. Let's please get the Denver basketball team involved in that. So we have, okay, so we had our coffee at Percolator. We had our beignets at Junebug Cafe. We have our hummus sampler platter and pita at Galit. Now it's time for probably our main entree. This is very, very tough. I think what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to give you two options. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to follow exactly what you mentioned, Shai. I think you'll give me some leeway. I'm going to say, but these are going to be kind of similar. I'm going to say you either want to go to Au Cheval for a burger. Best burger I've ever had in my life, a place called Au Cheval. I believe Jay-Z and Beyonce were just there recently to sample the burger fare. It's a bit of a wait. The word is out, it's become very popular, but Au Cheval, best burger you'll ever have in your life. And I'll say other side of the coin, very, very similar, but I'll say if you want barbecue instead of a burger, you're going to want to go to Smoke, S-M-O-Q-U-E, like barbecue, Q-U-E, so Smoke with a Q-U-E at the end.
I love that.
And you're going to want to get the sliced brisket. So beef brisket. Either way, yeah.
So I have a theory about barbecue places.
Okay.
I love barbecue places. We have pretty good ones in Virginia. I wouldn't say the greatest, but we have some really, really good ones. I feel like barbecue places isn't just all barbecue at a particular place is great, but of the different barbecue places that you have in your quiver, there are ones that specialize in certain areas. Like I go to one if I'm in the mood for burnt ends. If I'm in the mood for brisket, it's another one. But that same place doesn't necessarily have the best smoked chicken. But one place, the smoked chicken is the secret weapon on the menu. And so I love that you drilled into the sliced brisket.
Yeah.
Moist or lean?
I like it moist.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little fatty, a little moist. But they have a, they have pulled pork, they have chicken, they have everything. It's all, everything's like an A minus, but the sliced brisket is A plus plus. Don't, and they have chopped brisket. Again, that's an A minus. Sliced brisket, A plus. Plus, plus, plus. And then, I'll also throw in, there's a place called Crisp. If you want Korean fried chicken, Crisp, that's going to be very good as well. And then we'll end with a nice dessert. This is going to be a very heavy meal if you actually did this, but we're going to end with dessert. And this is based on, this is a recent.
Well, you started in the morning.
I started in the morning.
This could be well into the evening at this point.
Yes. I'm going to sort of base this off my, something I recently discovered that I never have before. And it kind of blew my mind. There's a restaurant called Community. I believe it's on Milwaukee, restaurant called Community, and they have baked Alaska. Now I went there with my sister and my mom and my fiance, and we saw baked Alaska on a menu, and we'd never seen it on a menu before. We'd seen it in maybe like a Julia Child's cooking book, The Joy of Cooking or something.
I feel like you see it in movies sometimes.
Yeah. Or movies. Yeah. In like 80s movies where it's like the Goonies are like, let's have a baked Alaska while we are in this cave.
John Candy's eating.
Yes. So it's, I'm sure baked Alaska is also like a Rick Moranis, a Dave Thomas movie. So I feel like we'd always heard of it or, you know, seen it or whatever, but we didn't really know what it was or how it tasted. So we kind of jokingly were like, well, let's order this baked Alaska. It came and it was outstanding. It was phenomenal. I don't know how to describe it in terms of like, it's kind of like a cake, but with meringue on top that's kind of toasted. It's kind of gooey, very like cloyingly sweet. I mean, after the beignets and this, you'll be wanting to go to a doctor, but it was so, and there's some ice cream. There's an ice cream element to it as well. It was so unlike anything else I've had. And just so delicious that all of us were like scraping our spoons to grab more. And then we ordered a second one because we had not gotten enough. So,
but in fairness, you didn't eat all these other things in that day.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So in my mind, the context normal was meal. Just, wait, yes. You just went to the horse burger place and when you, au cheval, it is a beef burger because cheval means horse, isn't it?
Yeah. Au cheval is of the horse. But burger horse burger would be a good name too. I'd eat at a place called horse burger.
But the burger John is Travolta. Cow based.
Yes. Okay. Yes. 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 Thank you, Joe Rogan. Was that him recently? Did you hear about that?
What?
Joe Rogan on his podcast was like, hamburger, pork. And his guest was like, what's up? And he goes, it says ham in the name, hamburger. And they're like, no, it's beef. And he goes, somebody look this up. And his producer was like, I don't have to look it up. It's beef. And he goes, then why is ham in the name? And it's like, what are we doing?
Like, there's no dog in hot dog study either. It's pretty easy.
So that would be my sort of, just personal to me, that would be sort of my perfect meal throughout Chicago. I will say, just for the sake of 5% of your listeners and also my fiance and sister who are vegetarian, there's a place called Chicago Diner, which is all vegetarian and vegan. I would highly recommend that if you're on that scale.
That sounds delicious. I'm a meat eater, but every once in a while I need to clean out and eat a lot of vegetarian food for like a couple of days.
Oh yeah.
So now that the listener has eaten all of this, they need to go to the doctor.
I'm so sorry.
And I'm gonna Leah lets me bring in some of my bits from Friday Night Movie Podcast, and this is one of our favorites. This is the Rex RX. So okay. Rex stands for recommendations, RX standing for prescription. You are now the doctor.
Ooh.
And you're gonna and I'm gonna hand you a scenario. Some might be familiar, some might be not.
I feel maybe in the first 50 episodes of Hey Riddle Riddle, I believe I used to call myself Dr. Recommendations. I'd have to double check, but I think So that's this amazing. Is right in my wheelhouse.
Perfect. This is great. If anything podcasters, by the way, love to do is to recommend things. So these moods or these scenarios, and then you would, to the person that came to you, say, this just happened to me, or this is how I feel. And then the food or the restaurant or the menu item and then let's keep it in Chicago just because, again, parameters makes it fun.
Perfect. Yes.
Okay. Someone comes to you. They're an adult. So they are in their 30s today.
Great.
So perfect. 30s in 2022. They just finished reading Lord of the Rings, including the appendices.
Okay.
What do they need to eat?
Okay. Just finished reading Lord of the Rings. I'm going to tell them you should go to a place. There's a place called Taste of Lebanon. I think it's in Andersonville. You're going to want to go there and get the lentil soup. And then they have like some sort of lamb wrap, everything, and the grape leaves and stuff. The reason I say that is because Lord of the Rings, the first thing I thought of is like you eat with your hands.
Yeah.
Like there's not, as they're journeying, they're mostly breaking off whatever elven leaven bread that they're given.
Well, the lembas bread, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Unfolding. That's totally what jumped in my mind.
So like breaking off, eating with your hands, kind of unwrapping leaves. So that made me think grape leaves and lentils and stuff. So that's one of the best Middle Eastern restaurants you'll ever go to. And it's a lot of almost exclusively eating with your hands.
That's awesome.
So you feel like a hobbit.
I love it. That's mm-hmm. incredible. Okay. So now your next patient has come to you.
Okay.
Now this is a really, this has been a crazy couple of years, the pandemic, and people have a lot of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And someone's coming to you and saying, look, I have and not just the pandemic, like the world is nuts. And they said, I have a lot of outside world induced anxiety.
Okay.
What should I eat in Chicago?
Yes.
To just take the edge off.
Yes.
Not like they don't have to get blackout drunk. Just take the edge off.
Take the edge off. This is good. First, I would say to them, I'm not an actual doctor. So please take that to heart. And then I would say, I would absolutely recommend go see the town clown Pagliacci, I believe his name is. Pagliacci, something along those lines. And then he would say, but doctor, I am Pagliacci. And then we'd laugh and cry about that. And then I would probably tell them to go to J.P. Graziano's. Now, J.P. Graziano's is a sandwich shop in, I think it's on Randolph. It's in the Fulton Market area of Chicago, which is sort of like the meatpacking warehouse-ish district that has a lot of great restaurants. But J.P. Graziano's, like, super old school Italian sub sandwich shop. You go inside. It's all family members. It's like three brothers up front. And then when you pay, you go to this little wooden room in the back where, like, the grandma's back there taking money and calling you sweetheart and sweetie. The reason I would say go there is because it's a nice, calm family vibe. You feel very welcome the minute you step in. And also a big issue with me in terms of I can get a lot of anxiety, and a lot of that comes from like decision making. Like I become paralyzed with decision making. So J.P. Graziano's is like, I think they have like six subs or something. Like there's only six sandwiches you can get.
There's no specialty nonsense.
No. The subs. Yeah. It's like they have the subs and then they have cannoli, and that's about it. You're going to go there, and they have a sandwich called the Mr. G. So it's called J.P. Graziano. I think Mr. G is like their grandpa or something who started the place. You're going to get the Mr. G. That's the one thing you get there. You're going to sit down. They have like benches there. You can eat inside at a bench, and they wrap it in that sort of white butcher's paper.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be very clean, very calming, very simple. You're not going to be overwhelmed by sitting down with a menu. You're not going to have a waiter. You order at the counter and then pay in the back. There's no waiter you have to deal with. And you can sit away from anybody you want. So I feel like the lessening of options and the warmth from that place is what's going to cause you to have reduced anxiety.
I love the less of options, because sometimes you just have to know
mm-hmm.
what a place specializes in and get that.
Yes.
Like my wife will be at a diner and she'll say, oh, there's sushi on the menu. I said, mm-hmm. no, don't, please don't.
Not at a diner.
No, club sandwich, eggs, not sushi. All right. The last one before we take a quick break.
Yes.
You mentioned you're engaged. Mazel tov. That's wonderful.
Thank Great. You. She's Jewish. So.
Oh, she's Jewish.
Apropos. That's, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mazel tov. And the in-laws are in town.
Yes.
So this is not where you're going to take the in-laws.
Okay.
This is for you, or not your in-laws. I'm sure your in-laws are lovely, like mine. But someone's in-laws are in town.
Yeah.
What do they need to eat in Chicago?
Okay. Interesting. I'm going to do two options here. The first option I'm going to give is there is a place called there's a place Alinea. Okay, first option I'm going to say Alinea. That's the big guns. We're bringing out the big guns. Alinea is the number one restaurant in Chicago. For a while, I think it was the number one restaurant in America and like internationally wow. ranked. So it's a guy named Grant Achatz who trained at under Thomas Keller at the French Laundry. And he kind of put Chicago food on the map with Trio, and he had a few other restaurants. But that is the place where it's like, if you want to impress anyone, and I absolutely would want to impress my in-laws, you take them to Alinea. It's a prefix menu. The main thing that Achatz is known for is a dish called the Black Truffle Explosion, which is like Ooh. A little spoon with a piece of pasta and black truffle.
My
and
favorite as you put flavor.
It, as you put it in your mouth, it kind of disintegrates and explodes outward. So Alinea is the place. It's very pricey, but if you want to impress, which typically, maybe not typically, but at least for me, if I'm hanging out with the in-laws, I want to impress them and be like, here's why Chicago is the place to go. Because my future in-laws, one lives in New York and then the other one lives in New Jersey and goes to New York. Or I'm sorry, lives in Vermont, but came from Jersey and goes into New York a lot. So they're around a lot of good food.
Like the band Fish from New Jersey. And
yes, exactly.
In Vermont.
and my in-laws are always playing guitar on trampolines, I should say. So Alinea is going to be my number one. The other one I'm going to say is, let me look over my list here for just a moment to make sure I have this correct. Okay. The other place I'm going to list is Girl and the Goat. Now, Girl and the Goat is Stephanie.
Or and?
Girl and the Goat. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Girl in the
Get
Goat.
Get that girl out of there. Cut the goat open. There's a girl in that goat. Girl and the Goat. And the reason I'll say this is because it's Stephanie Izard or Izard. I think it's
oh,
Izard.
Oh, yeah. She was Stephanie on Izard from my Top Chef. Favorite season of Top Chef back when yeah. my wife and I were foodies before we stopped. That show was very enabling.
Oh, yes.
Cool.
But you want to go there because specifically it's a very nice place, but it's very low key atmosphere. Like you can sit at a table and not you're not overwhelmed by the other table's chatter. Like you can't really hear anyone. I don't know if it's like acoustics or the layout or whatever it is.
My
the materials
would
are
be
using
bummed because she goes to restaurants to listen to other people's problems.
Ooh, to yeah, overhear.
That's her thing. She loves it. But I'm into it because I don't like hearing other people on me.
But you go there because you're going to be able to have a nice conversation and it's not drowned out or it's not overwhelming. And then another great aspect of this place is a lot of the dishes are like family style almost, where it's like you can get sides or whatever and everyone can pick at it. So you get to try everything because especially my future mother-in-law is very much like almost gets plate envy, where when I've been out to eat with her in New York or wherever else, we'll both order different things and then she'll see mine and be like, what did you get? And I'll be like, blank. And she's like, I didn't see that. Can I have a bite? And then she's like, can I have another bite? And pretty soon she's cleaning the plate herself with a piece of bread. So I like the idea of having almost a communal and publican like that in Chicago is very similar to a Vec. But I'm going to say Girl and the Goat because it's going to be able to have those shared dishes at the table, which is going to lead to a nice vibe. Nobody getting upset that they're stealing off your plate. It's all communal. It's all good.
So you love graphic novels, you love comics,
yeah.
I know you love the Avatarverse like I do.
Yes.
When did you start? Where did your love of the comic book world start? Or the graphic world start?
Yeah, I have to assume, I haven't really thought about it, but I have to assume it was with like the 90s X-Men cartoon.
Oh yeah.
So I think So I think that was what got me into it. And then I started reading a lot of X-Men, X-Force. I became obsessed with Nightcrawler. It's probably my all-time favorite comic book character.
Wow. That's a cool character to pick.
Yeah, I think he's just so interesting in terms of like he's German, he's an acrobat, his power is not like overwhelming. It's like he can teleport and he's very agile, but it's not like Superman or something or Cable, where Cable's just like, I do everything. I just like that he's like, I can teleport, which can be used to like save people or used to sneak up behind someone and punch them or something. And then I think just the aesthetic, like his look is so interesting of like, he looks like a monster and yet he's very gentle and very loving and very considerate and thoughtful. And I mean, I know Beast has a similar situation going on where he's
more
blue
cerebral
and,
though. He's but he's more romantic the same way.
Yes, yes, yes. He's more of a, yeah, he's more of a scientist. So I don't know what it is. I just really connected with Nightcrawler. So he's been my favorite, but that set me on a path of like, finding, like I said, the X-Men one-to-one from the cartoon to the book. Then I found the, you know, Excalibur and Alpha Flight and X-Force and
Alpha Flight, deep cut,
New Mutants,
the Canadian,
yeah, with the Sasquatch, the New Mutants, and then that led to me going back to discover some amount of Spider-Man, and then eventually that led me to the darker stuff of like Frank Miller stuff and. Yeah. What I'm currently obsessed with, which is like, I mean, to me, Grant Morrison is the end all be all. I like Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, yeah.
I love his stuff, but I feel like Grant Morrison to me is the best
right now.
Yeah. Oh, very cool.
That was a thing I needed to do in my life.
I still have not read those, and I own them all. The Animal Man run of Grant Morrison is to me what like blew my mind open and really made me. Dive deeper into graphic novels. So good. I think they just referenced that in the newest season of Big Mouth. The ending of Big Mouth had a very Animal Man. I think they absolutely ripped that off.
That's cool. My kids now, I was told this by my kids' teacher when book reading came around or when they talked about book projects.
The Scholastic paper there.
The what?
The Scholastic Fair.
Oh, the Scholastic. Book, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. My wife loves the Scholastic paper. When that comes, the kids get the only time the kids can buy whatever thing they want is when
go
that
nuts,
thing comes.
Yeah.
My kids' teacher told us, I know you were all raised at a time when you had to read, you know, Of Mice and Men and Judy Grapes Blume books or whatever. Yeah, you know, books. But I just want you to know your kids, they're allowed to come home with graphic novels now. That is totally acceptable reading. We just want kids reading. And my kids are reading these wild, very cool graphic novels. Both of them have now read this book, Joe, which is a graphic novel take on Little Women, like a modern take on Little Women.
Oh, very cool. Is it just J.O.?
J.O., yeah.
Yeah.
And it led to them reading the book. And then we watched both versions of the movies. And so I think kids are, I would have loved to have, I read so many cool comics back that were so much cooler than some of the stuff I read in the 90s. I would have loved to go back and read.
That's really cool that the school is like, or teach. I don't know if it's teacher specific or the school in general, but I feel like graphic novels are such a gateway into loving reading in general. That you should embrace it versus being like, put those comics away, read Teaching Mr. Tingle or Indian in the Cupboard or whatever or Our Town or something.
That's a perfect choice. Perfect choice of a book we had to read.
Yeah. Our Town was the one we had to read where everyone was like, oh, books suck. And they're like, no, Our Town is actually very good. And it's like, no, it is awful. I've gone back as an adult to try and read it. And I'm like, no, this absolutely blows.
Our Town always seems to be the play that people are putting on in a TV show or something.
Like yeah, it's the worst. Theater. Yeah, just the worst.
So let's talk about the Avatarverse. And I'm going to frame it in terms of... So I'm a Star Wars kid, but when I discovered Avatar The Last Airbender and then The Legend of Korra, I actually felt like, oh my goodness, this is the best universe that I've seen. Mm-hmm. Since Star Wars, and because the creators are still in charge and they haven't broken it, it's not broken yet.
Yeah,
right? Yes, correct.
It's intact.
It's magic.
Yes,
right. Though even
untainted.
And I try to tell grownups all the time to watch it, and they say, "Not a cartoon." And I'm like, "Nope, it's not a cartoon. It just is. It's an epic." And there are some terrific graphic novels associated with that. The sequel graphic novels are fantastic.
Sequel.
So there's a series of graphic novels that that they've released that continue the story.
Oh shit. Oh, I have to immediately after this podcast, you have to email me the name of these because I need to read these.
Yeah, and I collect them in library edition. So we will they're beautiful. If you get the big hardcover ones, they're gorgeous. It's terrific. And
if you're an adult and you're thinking cartoon, I don't want to watch this. Watch the, I forget what episode is called, but it's like the tales. It's like the four tales,
oh, the
of tales whatever.
Of Ba Sing Se.
But the what Iroh is under the tree and just absolute bawling, crying.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But it's like
beautiful
one of the best episodes of television ever.
Yes.
Incredible. So I'm going to tie it all together here.
Okay.
On Friday Night Movie, we play a game. Our signature game is called Buy, Rent, Meh.
Okay.
You've probably played a similar game, but more in more appropriate, or you've heard of a similar game in more inappropriate context. But
the tales of Buy, Rent, Meh.
The tales of Buy, Rent, Meh. There's a lot of tales. So the buy is your highest ranking. Remember VHS? This is all based on VHS and videos, right? You buy a video if you liked it.
Which back then was $90 or something.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, if you lost a Blockbuster VHS, you owed them $90, which is bonkers.
We had Sister Act 2 Back in the Habit stuck in our car for years. They tried to charge us so much money for that. So buy is your highest ranking here. Rent is your medium. I'll shell out the $4 or $5 and hopefully bring it back on time so I don't pay it more. And then now meh can mean anything. Meh can be negative. It can be ambivalent. It's really in how you deliver your meh. So this is not a 1-2-3. It's more like a 1-2 and wild card.
Yes, perfect.
So I'm going to present you with three characters from the Avatarverse.
Okay.
You have the opportunity to open up a restaurant in Chicago with any one of them, and you must rank order them by rent, meh, and of course justify your reason. So in the Avatarverse, if you were to open up a restaurant in Chicago with any of the following three, who's your buy, who is your rent, who is your meh? And I'm going with core characters because I don't want to play minutia games, you know. Not asking you about the cabbage guy.
Okay. I heard you say Korra characters.
No, Korra characters. I'm going with the core characters.
I still heard Korra characters because I hear what I want to hear.
Okay. But I mean, we can do Korra characters too, but I'll just start with the OGs.
Perfect. Yeah.
Aang, the Avatar himself. Zuko, the young Fire Lord. And my personal favorite character in all of the Avatarverse, Katara.
I'm embarrassed to say it's been about 8 years since I saw the series. Remind me, Katara is
the older sister of
Zuko.
She's the waterbender. She is the love interest of Aang. She's kind of like the idealist in the group, the believer, who believes in Aang at all costs. And I believe Aang can save, right? She's the narrator in that opening segment.
Yes.
The iconic opening segment. But if you want to switch her out with someone you know more, by all means,
I mean, my favorite character in the entire series was Toph. Probably second would be Appa. when he got abducted, I cried for a week. I'm gonna rent Aang. I feel like having Aang around the kitchen, I feel like having Aang in charge, he's got a lot going on. He doesn't quite have a firm grasp on responsibility sometimes. So I feel like Aang, there's a big learning curve there. At times he can be annoying. At times he wants to shirk his responsibilities. So I feel like Aang, I'm going to rent because he's got potential, but he has the highest ceiling out of anyone for sure.
I mean, he's a vegetarian, so he gets some creative vegan food.
Yeah. But I feel like it would be, and because he can bend everything, he can't control it sometimes and it just makes a mess in the kitchen. So he's going to be my rent. I think buy is going to be Zuko. Because he's firebender, right?
Oh yeah.
And to me, cooking's all about fire. If you want to watch something that's like the most food porn you've ever seen, watch, now I can't remember the name of the show. It's on Netflix. It's like every episode focuses on a chef. I can't remember the name of the show, but the guy's name is Francis Mallmann. There's a guy named Francis Mallmann who is a chef who lives in Patagonia, in like this remote area of Patagonia.
Wow.
And he only cooks with fire. Everything he cooks is with fire. And when you watch his episode of this thing on Netflix, it's like 50 minutes long. Is it Mind of a Chef? No, that's David Chang. But it is you will sit there salivating and you'll be like, I want nothing more in the world
Chef's
than to reach.
Chef's Table? Could that be what it's
Chef's
called?
Chef's Table. That's what it is. Chef's Table.
All right.
So
it's
watch the Francis
3 of season one.
Watch the Francis Mallmann episode of Chef's Table and you will be like, I want this man to be my savior. The food, the way he cooks it, it's all fire. and it's the most exceptional looking food I've ever seen in my life. My goal is to one day buy a ticket to Patagonia to eat at his restaurant there, which the restaurant, when you go to Patagonia, is just his like front yard. And he has like 10 fire pits and he cooks stuff over the course of a day over fire. So fire to me is key. Zuko is going to be my bye. And we're going to cook with fire. So that leaves Katara. What was the Katara? Katara is going to be my meh because air is not bad. She's waterbender.
She's waterbender. You've got sous vide and boiling.
Yeah, you could sous vide. Here's what I'll say. I would love her to be on my wait staff because refilling water, it doesn't even have to go back to get a pitcher. Just refilling water left and right. The house is happy. Every customer is like, I can't even finish my 12 ounces before it's refilled. So I think that's fantastic. Also, if we happen to have any amount of seafood, that's going to be key for her to just like, you know, keep the water recycled out so that the lobsters don't get, you know, their gills gunked up or whatever. So I think it's going to be my meh of like, you're useful. You have a place, but it's maybe not, you're not my full on partner because you're not bringing to the table what I want. I want smokiness. I want fire. I want that crackle and that crisp and that singe and burn.
I think that sounds delicious. All right. Adil Rifai, legend of the podcast world, improviser extraordinaire. You've been so gracious with your time. We are so grateful that you joined Finding Favorites for this special episode.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I would love to know, where are all the places people can and should follow you?
Yeah, so you should check out the podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. That's going to be on Twitter. But you said where they can follow me. That's going to be at Adil Rifai on Twitter or Instagram. Spelled AdilRifai. So you can follow me there. But yeah, then follow my podcast. More importantly, Hello from the Magic Tavern and Hey Riddle Riddle.
Terrific. And those shows are so much fun.
Thank you so much, Shai.
And like I said, my podcast professor, getting to interview your podcast professor is an intimidating moment in the podcast world. I am your guest host for today, Shai Corman. You can catch me every week with my sisters on the Friday Night Movie Podcast. But more importantly, this is Finding Favorites, where people talk about their favorite things without any kind of algorithms. You get cool recommendations, but you're really listening to people's true loves, invented by the great Leah Jones of Chicago, who also hosts one of my favorite shows, co-hosts Candy Chat Chicago with Jocelyn Gayboy, also a rockin' good time.
Ooh, so I gotta check that out.
That show is incredible. That one, I laughed so hard during that show that my face hurts.
Candyland?
Candy Chat Chicago.
Candy Chat Chicago.
And they taste candy and review it. And my sister and we're not the only ones, because now Leah, like, the podcast is well enough known that Leah, people just send candy to her house all the time.
That's amazing.
But my sister and I are kind of in this like war trying to I send Canadian chocolate bars, my sister sends candy from Spain, and when they review it, if they don't like something, they shred it. I had one of my candies that I sent say that it tasted like cigarette ashes. So they don't hold back when they love something. They love it. Anyways,
that's like my dad. I feel like international candy is either there's no middle ground. It's the bookends. It's either a 10 or a 0. Like my dad will bring me back like a halva bar from when he goes to Jordan or something. And I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever had. And then they'll bring me back some like toasted sesame thing. And I'm like, this is the most inedible piece of garbage I've ever laid eyes on.
It's like my brother-in-law gives us Russian candy, which just tastes like tears and running from your village being burned. So follow and subscribe and tell people about Finding Favorites. You can follow me at Pancake and the Number 4 Table, Pancake 4 Table on Twitter and Instagram, or at Fry Night Movie.
Shai, can I just say, as a guest host, you absolutely crush it. You did an amazing job.
Wow, thanks, man.
I would never guess you were filling in. You did an exceptional job. So thank you for making me feel so welcome and for allowing for a great time.
Well, that really means a lot to hear. But it's also a tribute to this show, which truly does that thing where it makes people feel like they're part of the show connected to the host.
Yeah.
And so it has I really am grateful for that. Wow. I'm stumped now, but Finding Favorites, Leah Jones, Leah, get better soon.
Yes. Get better.
And we wish everybody well, and thanks for being here. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Anytime. Thank you so much. Bye forever.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.